for those who suffer with mental illness. That we need to, for the H, I said that we need to help, and we need to be a part of in practical ways. And then we need to unleash some of the volunteers and get volunteering in some things. And we need to remove that stigma. We need to collaborate with the community, and we need to offer hope. And that's what I want us to talk about this morning. I want to make sure you understand this. Government is not going to solve the mental health problem in our world. You know, we just, you know, I grew up in the 70s. Anybody else grew up in the 70s? You know, I grew up in the 70s, and they were closing the mental health institute. Anybody remember all that in the 70s when they were closing all those down? Well, I want to tell you, even if we had all those open back up, we're not going to solve the mental health problem. Our medical profession, the healthcare ministry services, are not going to solve all the mental health problems. The church, it takes all of it. The government, the medical health. But the church brings something that nobody else can bring. The church brings something that only the church can bring. And that's a hope. That's a hope. That everybody has, worth, that everybody has something to contribute to this world. And God wants us to have that. And we can bring that as a church. And that's what I want this church about. And so that's why I think this church is so special, because I'll preach messages like this and you guys keep coming back. Not all churches do that. I was visiting with some pastors this last week, and they were saying some churches have asked people to leave. Issues with mental health. And it's like, I don't get it. We need to step into that messiness of life. And I'm going to tell you right now, probably some of you, your life is messy. Anybody else's life messy besides mine? I don't know about you, but my life's jacked up right now. Anybody else in that boat? You know? Life is messy. You know, it's life. And, you know, and I'm not talking about finances, and I'm not talking about physically, although I do have some physical issues called old age, you know. I'm talking about mentally messed up. I'm a control freak, and right now this is pretty hard to take in control right now in this world, isn't it? You know. And so we wrestle with these things. So I want to begin by just giving you three reasons why the church needs to step into this. Three reasons why we need to jump into this issue and be in there, be that compassionate individual. And so first one down is called the biblical reason. I think, you know, as a church, where do we get our existence from? From God. Where do we get the truth from? From His Word. From the Bible. And so when I want to know why I should do this, why should the church be involved in this, why should the church take a part in this, I need to turn to the Bible. And there's no better character in the Bible to look at to deal with the church than Jesus Christ. Would you guys agree with that? Wouldn't Jesus be the best example? Anybody with me here this morning say yes? All right, something along that line. Wouldn't Jesus be the best example? And so I think as we look at this situation, the biblical thing, let's look at Jesus. Who did Jesus touch? Who did Jesus minister to? I want to make sure you get a picture. One third of everything Jesus did, one third of his ministry involved sickness. Jesus preached. Jesus went out and preached. Let's look at the scripture. Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. He came out preaching, evangelism, telling people about Jesus Christ. You got to cross that invisible line. He came out teaching, discipling them, educating them about the truth. And he came out, that third part, healing the afflictions. And it's, I want to show you got that picture. Every affliction. He came out healing every affliction. Do we see that in our lives? And do we understand what Jesus did? See, Jesus wasn't just about going to heaven. You know? There's some people that want Jesus Christ just for fire insurance. Anybody on that one? You know? I don't want God to mess with my life. I don't want God to deal with my life. I just want to have fire insurance so I don't have to burn in hell. You know? But God is more than that. It's not just about going to hell. You know, God promised us eternal life. Now, what is eternal life? Is it just, well, I get to live forever? I'm going to tell you, I would not want to live in this earth forever. I'm going to be honest with you. Man, this is a jacked up place. I want to live forever. I want to live in a better place. But eternal life is not just the length of life. It's the quality of life. That deals with the mental health, that physical, that emotional. You get the picture here? And Jesus is all about that. Not just, I'm going to come and take your soul to heaven. No, I'm going to come and give you an abundant life. Remember that passage, John 10:10? That's what he wants. But in the midst of that abundant life, does anybody have emotional battles? Anybody get stressed? Anybody have stress right now? Man, you guys are all blessed. I see two hands go up when I say stress, man. You guys must have a better world than I'm in. You know? Anxiety? Depression? Anybody wrestle with those kind of things? You know, it's, you know. You know what? Yeah, I'm going to get to the point why you guys don't raise your hand in a minute, okay? You know, I'm not going to let you off the hook that easy. But see, God wants us, see, it's biblical to get involved in somebody's life. It's what Jesus did. Isn't Jesus a good example? You know? And so what we're sharing here and what I'm going to wear here and what we're going to talk about is we're going to jump into the midst of messiness. When you're in the midst of messiness, is it comfortable? Is it easy? Is it pleasant? You know? But we need to see that's where God wants us. I'm going to tell you something. God jumped in when I was 17 years old in some messy 17-year-old kid's life. And my life was a mess. He jumps into all our lives in the midst of the messiness of life. But I also want to make sure, you know, there's a historical reason. You know, we have churches. Now, again, I grew up in the 70s and in the 60s and grew up in Sacramento. The hospitals in Sacramento, at least my image of the hospitals in Sacramento growing up, were from the Catholic Church. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, it was Mercy Hospital. Anybody familiar with the other? Hospitals are really were the churches. You know, government didn't create hospitals. The medical field didn't create hospitals. The hospital's medical field. And I grew up in Sacramento, and both our hospitals, I remember one was Mercy. I can't remember where the other one was. I can't remember the name of the other one, but I remember that. You know? I know my mom was at Methodist Hospital. They built that in South Sacramento. You know? I read in the South, there's Baptist Hospital in Dallas and different, the church historically has been the center of the medical. It's been the keystone in the medical profession. Yeah. I think it's very obvious now with my health insurance bills. Anybody else got good health insurance bills? Hefty health insurance bills? That it's no longer the church. That's why the church needs to step back in. You understand? Right? Especially when it comes to mental health. You know, there's that historical reason. And then I also put down here, I put some notes here. I want to make sure I read this. The first hospital in America, I'm not talking about North America, I'm talking about America. Cortez built the first hospital in 1524. It's a Hospital de Jesus Nazareno. Somebody had the Spanish but do better than that than me. In 1520, it still is Mexico City. The hospital in America was 1663 in New York dealing with soldiers from the Civil War. In Pennsylvania, in 1751, the nursing became. It's all through the churches. But then there's practical reasons for the church. It's practical. When somebody gets diagnosed, somebody has an issue, there's a battle, there's a physical change, who do they usually call? Who's one of the people, when you get sick, you got an emergency in your family, something's in your family, who's the first person you call or text? Pastor, will you what? Pray for me. The first place people turn is to the church. Get me on that prayer list. Would you pray for me? It's a practical reason for the church. We're the first place people turn to. We're the first place people go to when they have needs. And so the church is that place. See, there's this reason. There's a biblical reason the church needs to be the cornerstone. There's a practical reason. There's a historical reason that mental health, the church should be stepping up. I was just reading an article. 1.1 million people attempt suicide every year. 1.1 million attempt suicide. A little over 40,000 are successful. Think about that. Do we, as a church, have a role to play? Is there a place for us? Now, I'm saying church, and I'm going to be real clear here. When I talk about the church, what am I talking about? This building? Am I talking about the pastor? You know, maybe your Bible study? Maybe a good Christian friend? I'm talking about all of us. All of us have something to contribute. But that challenge is, and this week it made it so evident to me that there's this stigma when I mention mental health. Because I say it now, in the atmosphere of our world right now, and your mind will immediately go to Las Vegas. Am I right? That's not what I'm talking about. Very small percentage. You know, it'd go to that guy on the corner that's talking to the fire hydrant, right? We mentioned mental illness, and our mind goes to the extreme, and that's the small percentage. Because I believe, whether you like this or not, I'm going to tell you this. I believe all of us struggle with mental issues. I told you, mind, I can be a very angry person. And you know I'm a control freak. You don't think that's an issue? You know? Just ask Linda the discussion we had this morning about me being a control freak. You know? Those are issues. We all have these. We all battle these. And we got to attack this stigma that's out there. You know? If you go to the doctor and, you know, and it's like, well, do you take any medicine? Well, yeah, I take some blood pressure medicine. You know, my blood pressure's sick. Anybody got sick blood pressure? Anybody got sick sugar, diabetes? You know, you take a pill, right? Talk about that, you know. Oh, I got to take a shot with my diabetes. Not me, but some of you. You know, I got to take a pill for my blood pressure. But then all of a sudden, I got to take a pill because I got bipolar. Ooh, wait a minute. I'll call you later. Is there a stigma? See, I think, you know, you're talking to a friend and that friend says, you know, I've got this suicidal kind of thoughts going on in my head. And you just kind of get uncomfortable because you don't know how to respond? Is there this stigma out there? I think there is. We're real quiet about it this morning. I think there's a stigma even in here. And so how do we do this? How do we get across this? You know, how do we move beyond this? And so I'm going to just give you really three quick things that I want to go through this morning to help us as a church. To help you as a church, in your family, in your friends, with those around you. And so I put it this way. We must be educated and equipped. We must be educated and equipped. I'm talking about all of us. You know, this week we had a conference in here. My fault, I didn't announce it last week, but I meant to announce. We had a mental health come into our church this Tuesday. And we had a great conversation here. And just the resources that are in our area that you could get. And there's stuff out on that table out there. I'm going to encourage you, go by and pick up some stuff on the table out there. You know, you never know what role you might play. It's like, well, I don't know anybody thinking about suicide. You don't know that. I'm serious. You don't know that. I would have said my brother was thinking about suicide. Would never cross my mind. He was working, making money, bought a house, doing good. But at 39 years old, he took his life. There's stuff out there. What do you do? There's a book out there with all the resources. We got to educate ourselves. We got to be aware of what's out there and what's available. Because I want to make sure you get a picture. Let me give you some education. about mental health. And so, because it's complex. You know, it's not this one thing. You know, sometimes there's a history. Anybody had wounds in their life, maybe raised in some difficult situations, families, some environments you were raised in. Then there's chemistry. There's these physical things going on. There's chemistry. Did you know your diet can mess with your... Laura says, when I eat sugar, I get angrier. So she doesn't want me to eat sugar. You know, I go to those spice drops and orange slices and sweet tea and, you know. And she says that she goes, I see you change. I don't see it. Because I'm practically perfect. It's fine. You know. But see, there's this biological, physical chemistry going on in our heads. And it's not just a simple thing. The relationships, broken relationships mess up our mentally, doesn't it? Those relationships, when they fall, family, kids, grandkids. You know, I had my grandkids yesterday. I love my grandkids, but they can drive you crazy. You know, I want them back, but I'm glad they went home. Yeah, but I want them back. You know, that's a sign of craziness, I guess. You know? But see, we see all of this and we don't understand. You know, our diet makes a difference. You know? And so there's those chemical things that go on, relationship things that go on, emotional things that go on, history that goes on, chemistry in our head, all these things. And, you know, here's what I want to tell you. Here's a good education. If somebody says, all you need to do is pray more and you'll be okay. It ain't working. Just read your Bible and that'll solve all your problems. And if that comes in, just take this one little pill and it'll all go away. No. It's a complex. We're going to talk about this over the next 6 weeks. You need to know we're going to be here for a while. So I'll see who really wants to come back next week again. You know? Because this is a battle. It's a battle for our lives. It's a battle for our family. It's a battle for our friends' lives. And I want to say it's a personal battle. It's not just out there. And so we need to see this. And it's complex. And there's no one answer. And it takes a lot to go around. And so, like I said, so I put stuff out there on the table. I'm wearing this ribbon. You know, the lime green is mental health. You know, we have the different colors mean different things. And we need to see this awareness, and we need to be aware of these things, and that it's, look at what the scripture says. Dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit. See, I want to make sure you get a picture here. We're woven together. There's chemistry. There's emotions. There's diet. There's hell. There's all these things that make this comp up. And he's saying, I hope it all balances out. I'll give you a little hint here. I always divide life into three categories. The emotional, the physical, and the spiritual. That's how I kind of divide my life into. And I'll give you a little hint. If one of them is out of balance, they're all out of balance. Anybody got a tire on your car? Anybody got tires on your car? Anybody? Man, you guys got cars with no tires? Man, I got a weird church. You know, the Jetsons, you guys fly. I get, man. You know, you got Jetsons cars, huh? You know, you get a tire. If that, you know, you go, I'll give you a hint. Go out there and pry that little lead thing off the side of your tire. Don't do it, please. Because that's what keeps your car balanced. If that's not on there, it's going to get out. We got to realize that in our life. We got to balance our lives. I need to watch my diet. I need to take care of my relationships. I need to think about the medication I take. I've got to worry about it. We need to educate ourselves and become aware of these resources and realize life is complex. If you just do this, I wish it would be that simple. I wish it would just be, here's a fix-it pill. Just take this and your life is fixed. But there's not. But the one thing that brings is he brings hope. you know what? There's hope. That's what we can bring. That God has hope for all of us. That we're created in His image. Everyone. Everyone. That there's a place and a purpose. And God wants to do something and God wants to move. And we need to see that. And we need to educate ourselves on that. And we need to equip ourselves on that. And so when you walk out of here, stop by that table. Don't go out here. And I don't want to come in. I'm going to tell you, last week, nobody took hardly anything. I was disappointed. I'm a great preacher, man. It's like, man, they should have just grabbed everything. I know that's not true. But you guys should at least took some of it. You know? Because I guarantee you there's people in your life, and it might be you, who are battling these. Educate ourselves. And I preached a message not long ago. It's okay not to be okay. I'm going to do that a little bit next week again. Because I think we all have issues. We all have battles and struggles. How about the next point I put down here? We all have a role. I'm going to tell you, in this game of life, there's no sideline. In this game of life, you can't check out. All right? It just, you're in the game. You got family. You got friends. You got relatives. You got coworkers, you got fellow students, you got relationships, and you're in this game of life. There's no sideline. You can't say, well, that's not my problem. It's all of ours. And we're in this game, and it's part of who we do. There's not something, I just can't do anything. We all have a role. I like the way the scripture here, Peter says this. Listen, God has given each of you, me, a special ability. Be sure to use them to help each other, passing on to others God's many kinds of blessings. Serve one another. Be there for one another. Help one another. See, that's what I want this. I want this church to be a safe place. We want this church to be a safe place. When you're hurt and when you're wounded, when you're battling, when you're struggling, it's where you want to be. It's where you know you're accepted. It's where you know you're loved. Where you know you're concerned and you're cared for. Where you know you matter. See, because we're all contributing. We're all having a part. Last week when I finished, I was given a note, and I really like those blue cards, and I was given a note, and it reminded me again that I didn't get to it last week, and I'm going to tell you, one of those cards out there says it really well. That most people who struggle with mental illness because of the stigma and everything else, they check out. They're not connected. They're disconnected. They push people away. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, those who are battling this, you know, sometimes it's because of the stigma. Sometimes it's because of the relationship. Sometimes they don't want to know. Sometimes they don't know they're doing it. Did you hear me? Sometimes people push you away and they don't know they're doing it. Is that true? Come on. Somebody bounce their head a little bit for me. Yeah. Because it's true. They're pushing you away and they don't know they're doing it. And so they wrote me a little note, and it was so true, and it reminded me of this. Because here's what I want to tell you. What role can you play? I'm going to make it real simple. Be there. Write that down. Be there. T-H-E-R-E. Can anybody write that down? See, that's the role we can all play. Just being connected. Being there. I told you I watched that show. I wanted to watch a show about building the Golden Gate Bridge, but I watched a show of suicide from the Golden Gate Bridge. You know, and I watched that show, and one of the young men that jumped from the bridge, she had talked with and she had communicated with, and she knew he battled with this, and she always stayed in contact with him. And I always made a deal with him that before he did anything, he would call her. You know what he did? He called her from the bridge. She tried. Unsuccessfully, but she tried. She had made a deal with him, and he kept that deal. See, we need to be there for others. Just listen. I chose this verse here because I think it's so true. Listen to what it says. This is Jesus' brother, James. Dear brothers, don't ever forget that it is best to listen much. Speak little. And do not become angry. I think this is a good verse for mental health. Because anybody ever get mad with who's battling situations in your life? You just get tired of them. You ever get tired of somebody battling mental health? You ever get tired of somebody depressed? They're always depressed. Come on, they're always depressed. Just get over it. Can't you get on with it? You know, anybody ever get tired? I like this verse. Listen, speak little, and don't get mad. Hang in there with them. That's why I said be there. Hang in there with them. You want to know what role you could play? Big ear, all right? You can be someone who just sits there and lets someone pour out their hurts, their wounds, their aches, and shares their heart with you. And you might have to do it, you know, it's like, I've heard the story 100 times. Here we go again. Come on now. You know, you've heard them. Come on. You know? I like that verse because it says, don't become angry. I'm going to say, don't get tired of it. See, you have a role to play. It might be just sitting there. It might be that you took a brochure and you looked and said, well, you know what? There's a resource here. I have drove several people from Salida to the medical facility on Claus Road. Okay? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You guys sitting there, you know, anybody know what's on Claus Road? Modesto Psychiatrics on Claus Road. I've drove there. The sad thing, some of them I had to drive back because they wouldn't keep them and they needed to stay. But I ministered to them on the way there and on the way back and on several occasions since then. Anybody? We have a role to play. You know, your role, just listen. You don't have to say much. Just listen. And it might be the 100th time you've heard it. But don't get angry. Don't get tired. Be there. See, we all have this role to play. And I was glad I was reminded last week because I want to make sure I put it in the message this week. Be there. That's just it. Play that role in their life. And how about the last one I put down here? We must support people living with mental illness. That's part of that being there, but I want to take it a step because, you know, I know many of you. I don't know some of you well. I know some of you better than others, and I don't know what's going on in your lives. But just by the sheer numbers that are here, I know some of you are battling right now. Just statistically speaking, 50% of adults struggle with mental illness. 50%. So that means this half over here is crazy and this half is not crazy, right? See, I gave you guys the best part. Oh, I gave you guys the best part. No, we're all. And so I know some of you are hurting this morning, right here, right now, in this place. You're hurting. Emotionally. There's things going on that's hurting. Mentally. And I want you to know you're in a safe place. You're in a good place. You might be sitting here going, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where to go. I don't know where to turn. Well, you started right now. You're in the right place. There's hope. I want you to know that you have value. That you matter. That you're forgivable. That you're usable, that you're in a season of life that doesn't end here. Because there's hope. It's not all just over, and it's not all I'm done. I don't know about you, but I just so you know, I have a safe place. I'll come and sit in this prayer room over here in the church. I got a key to the place. I get to come in. And I'll go sit in this prayer room. And I'll sit in that prayer room, and you know what? I'll sit there and tell God, I'm done. I'm fried. I'm tired. I'm frustrated. Life's not fair. Anybody on that one? You know? God, I'm done. Done. A safe place. See, we need those in our lives. And I want you to know this is a safe place. You matter. You're something God wants to use. And it's just a season. It's something you're going through. And I want to tell you something. Your mental is not your identity. My identity, I'm a depressed person. My identity, I'm a control freak. My identity, I'm bipolar, borderline personality disorder. That's not your identity. You know, I like what Celebrate Recovery, a program that's not just for alcohol, but it's for all sorts of battles you face. I like what they say. You at that meeting and you go something like this. My name's Gary, and I'm a child of God, but I battle anger. Anybody? My identity is not my anger. My identity is I'm a child of God. That's what I want you to know this morning. I want you to know that. This is part of that education. This is part of that role we play, that you matter. You are a child of God. You cross that invisible line. God, I'm tired of doing things my way, God. I want to do them your way. Come in and take control. That's what a Christian is. And you've crossed that invisible line, and you're a child of God. You're not that. Mental health. That battle. I'm going to tell you, sickness is not a sin. I have high blood pressure because I'm a sinner. Well, yeah, I'm a sinner, but that's not like I have high blood pressure. You know? They say, lose a little weight, and you might go down. I've tried that. It didn't work. I like sugar. You know? We have these things, and we need to understand that my identity is not wrapped up in all of this. It's not who I am. I am a child of God. You're a child of God. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood. And God has something for you. And you need to understand this, that God knew before you were born that you would be here this morning to hear this message. Did you know that? You're not here by accident. Well, I just thought I'd get up and go to church. Guess what? God knew. You had this great brain idea, and God's going, hey, I already knew. Come on. Get ready. See, God knows. He has this plan and this purpose. And we need to see this in our lives. We're going to have these battles. Times when depression just seems to overwhelm us and anxiety just seems to tear us down. There's going to be some of those chemistries in our life that our brain and our body is just not producing the right stuff, and we need to take some medicine to help us. There's going to be some issues that we need to sit down and talk with a counselor and spend some time talking with a counselor and working through some things in our life that has damaged us and hurt us and wounded us. And we need some time talking to a counselor. All this stuff plays a role. But my identity is I'm a child of God, created in His image, breathed into by the breath of God when I was born. Anybody on board with that? And we need to see that, and we need to experience that. And then when we go through life, it's not just about us. It's not just about me. I like this passage here because I think Paul paints a beautiful picture. Because you may be here today, but here's where you may be tomorrow. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Right now, you may be the one being comforted, but He's going to comfort you so that it's not all about you. You may be comforting someone tomorrow. You get the picture? See, we all have a role. We're all part of what God is doing. And God has a plan. And like I say, I want you this morning to know that your identity isn't the battles you're fighting. It's not those struggles in your head or those physical things that are going on. that your battle and your identity is Jesus Christ. And you need to see that this morning, that you're his child, that you're not in this all alone. It's not all about you, and you're not all alone. I chose a passage out of the book of Ecclesiastes. Read it all the time. It might be one you want to memorize. Two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. I want this church to be a safe place. We want this church to be a safe place. A place where you can come with your wounds and your hurts. Because 50% of us have them, at least. You know, here's the key thing. I read that 50% have it. It's going to be this 50% today. Next week, it's going to be this 50%. Did you know that? You know, it's not that simple. But I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. Would you educate yourself and equip yourself? Will you step up into that role? Will you be part of that role? And will you support? You hang in there. Would you be there? Two are better than one. Two are better than one. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you that you're a God who not only wants to take us to heaven to live for eternity with you, but you care about our journey here on earth. You care about the walk we walk today. You care about battles in our head, in our mind, in our soul. Those mental struggles that aren't seen, that are so hurtful. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I want to ask you this morning, prayer, have you let your battles become your identity? Have you let those things in your life, whether it's depression or anxiety or a control freak like myself, or anger or bipolar, or schizophrenia, or OCD. Have you let that become your identity? Do you need to reassure yourself, to reaffirm your faith, that child of God? You want me to pray for you? Will you shoot your hand up and let me pray for you? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyone else? I see those hands. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Lord, you've seen the hands of these who want to reassure and re-identify themselves with you, that you are the merciful, gracious God, that they are, that who they are is who you made them to be. They're created in your image, saved by your grace, forgiven by your mercy, and they are your child, Lord. I ask you to lift them up. Lay your hand upon them as they battle those things in their life that hurt so bad. They carry maybe so secretly, but we bring them into your presence now, Lord. So I lift them up to you that you may encourage them, that they may find safety in this place, that they may find hope in Jesus Christ. For it's in his name I pray. Amen.